Je luistert naar een studie van Calvary Chapel Haarlemmermeer. We bidden dat de Heer tot je zal spreken en je zult groeien in jouw persoonlijke relatie met de levende God. Bezoek voor meer informatie onze website calvarychapel.nl. Dat is calvarychapel.nl.
Okay. I'm a little out of breath. We went climbing trees during the break. Swinging on ropes. If you really want to see how young you are, go try it out. You laugh a lot trying to do it, but then like 5 minutes later, you're like, oh my gosh. Like everything hurts. I need Bengay or something on me. Anyway, let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you that outwardly maybe we're perishing, but inwardly, Lord, you are renewing us day by day. Lord, you are conforming us into your image, and what a joy that is for us to know and to believe. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're speaking your word into our hearts. Lord, we pray during this session that again your spirit would come. Lord, that you would quicken us to hear your word. Lord, to allow it to penetrate into every part of our being, that we would learn, Lord, that we would see your heart for us. We give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we've had a night last night of learning about having hope when we kind of had it up to here in life and situations and ready to give up, call it a day, call it a week, call it a year. This morning we looked at two men who were on the road of loneliness and hopelessness, and all because they didn't understand events that were going on. And now I'd like us to turn our attention to Job. And if you're like me, if you read your one-year Bible, and when you get to the book of Job, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? But there's so much good. I think I used to say this. I used to say, like, poor Job in heaven is probably in a corner all by himself because everybody's afraid to go near him because they think if they do, something bad is going to happen in their life. But that's not really the lesson that God wants us to have from this man's life. So if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Job, the first chapter. And we're going to skip around. There's going to be other scriptures, but you don't have to turn to them. But mainly if you turn to the book of Job, that's where our reading is going to come from. So go to Job chapter 1. God, this morning I was cold, now I'm so hot. Okay, so in Job 1, we read, there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And then if we move down a few verses, down to verse 6, we read, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? And so Satan answered, and the Lord said, answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Have you ever felt like God may have said, have you considered my servant? And then inserted your name in there. Because life is unfair and one thing after another comes out of the blue and hits you like this. And we see that in Job's life, in this chapter, that Satan did indeed have his way. Job lost all of his children. They all perished. He lost his livestock, his cattle, everything that was in his farm, and even his own health was bad. Remember, he got boils and he got sores on his health. He suffered a great loss, not only physically, but emotionally too. And yet, even though all of this that Job had suffered, we see that he never cursed God. He never cursed God, and he never accused God of wrongdoing. All of us, one day or another, whether you've been through it or if you live life long enough, we're going to have suffering in our lives. And it may not seem fair. It may seem that we're going to be asking God, why? We see, we read that Job was an upright man. He shunned evil. Job was a man who interceded just in case his children may have done something wrong or may have done something against the way of the Lord. Job, as their father, would intercede on their behalf and make offerings on their behalf. And yet, God allowed suffering in Job's life. And suffering, I think we need to realize, it's not a punishment from God. Suffering does not come our way as a punishment. It comes as part of life sometimes. It comes as a growing process. It comes as something in our lives that, like we said before, it rains on the just and the unjust. Sometimes life just isn't fair. And what happens is sometimes in the midst of this suffering, no matter how strong our walk may be, we get stuck. All of a sudden, we stop. We stop believing truth. We stop living. We stop walking in truth. And we just get stuck in that place of uncertainty, of wondering why these things are happening. And a lot of times, unfortunately, even for Christians, a lot of times during these times of suffering, when they don't understand, they give up hope. And in giving up hope, they give up on God. Maybe not permanently, but there's a time that they stop believing in who God is. It's easy for each of us to trust God when everything is going well, when we're working and our colleagues are nice to us, when our boss is nice to us, when our children are listening to us, when things are going well. When God is answering our prayers, it's easy to trust in Him. But often, the godly character that the Lord wants each of us to have is going to be built during those rough times. It's going to be built in us during those times of suffering and those hard times. The world around us would often say to us, give up. Give up hope. If you've ever been around a group of unbelievers, maybe even your family, why are you sticking with the Lord? Look at how miserable your life is. Look at how good my life is, and I'm not even following the Lord. And so people around us can start speaking things into our ear. And maybe we're going to be tempted like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Ever since I chose to follow Jesus, I'm going through a lot of suffering and I don't understand it. But my sister or my brother or my friends, it seems like everything is going well for them. They're getting the promotions. They're getting this. They're getting that. Their life seems to be so woven together for good. And mine is completely falling apart. And we begin to question God. We lose our hope. We read in the book of Acts the story about the Apostle Paul and Silas. Maybe you know this story where they were imprisoned because they were speaking about Jesus. They were chained. They were beaten for talking about Jesus. They were thrown into prison in Philippi. But what were they doing in that prison? Were they saying how unfair it is? Were they saying, God, why don't you deliver us? No. We read that they were singing praises in the prison cell while they were chained. They were singing praises to God. Despite their suffering, their hope in God never wavered. Their hope wasn't in getting set free from the chains. Their hope wasn't that they would be delivered from prison. Their hope wasn't in their circumstances being different. Their hope was in God and Him alone and what God can do. Their eyes were not on the jailers and what the jailers might be able to do for them, but on God and what God wanted to do with their lives. I don't know if you guys know the group Mercy Me. They're a Christian group. I mean, I really like that song. If you guys heard that song, Even If, it's like a theme song for me sometimes. And part of it goes that I know you're able. They're singing to the Lord. I know you're able, and I know you can. And that part right there, I just had to stop. Because that, I think, is where we falter. That is where we get mixed up. Because we know our God can change our circumstances, right? We know God can part the Red Sea. So God can do anything. God can speak. And it can happen. And so part of the problem that I go through in life sometimes is, but I know you can change this situation. I don't understand why you won't do it. That's makes me feel like in despair at times, because I don't doubt God's ability. But what I'm doubting is, why isn't he interceding on this part of my life? Why isn't he changing this circumstance in my life when I know he can? It's so easy for him to do it, but for some reason, he's not doing it. But the rest of the song goes on to say, but even if you don't, my hope is you alone. See, that's where God wants us as his daughters. God wants us not to have our hope in being set free from something that we're going through in life. He wants our hope to be in him alone. Sometimes there's people innocently put in prisons, but he wants their hope to be in him and to him alone. He wants our hope not to get a better job. Our hope is not going to be that, oh my gosh, please take me out of this office and put me in another one. Because you know what? 9 times out of 10, that new office is going to have problems too. So we can't keep changing places. We can't keep changing circumstances and putting our hope in those things. We have to learn that our hope is in God alone. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. If you want to turn there, go ahead. I'll take a sip of water. But keep your finger in Job, or your ribbon, or whatever. Romans chapter 5. Tells us verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope, the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations will produce perseverance, and perseverance will produce character, and character will produce hope. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. As we think about Job and we think about the suffering that God allowed in his life, and seemingly in our own understanding, it doesn't make any sense. Why would God punish? See, we think of it as punishment. Suffering and punishment go together. Why in the world would God do this to Job? God being God, why would he allow all of his children to be taken away from him? Does it make sense to us? Absolutely not. Doesn't make sense to me. It's one thing to lose your cattle. It's one thing to lose your home, to lose your job, but to lose your children? Don't we question the Lord when these things happen and we don't understand them? And I'm going to share with you a little private story. You see, when I was growing up, all I wanted in my life was to be a mom. I never wanted to work, not because I was lazy. I was smart. And my dad would always tell me we could never get, well, in America we get letter grades. Letters? Yes. A through F. F means you failed. A means you're good. And my dad always insisted that we never even get a C in our report card because that would be mediocre. And he never wanted us to be mediocre. And so he pushed us, you know, for me that I would be a scientist or I would be something great in the world and make some great contribution. But I never wanted to. I wanted to be a mom because when I was little, I got taken away from my mom and lived in an orphanage for a while. And so for me, to be a mom and to have a child and to love a child and to have a child to call my own and do everything right that my birth mom never did was my only goal in life. And so when I got older, I went to college. I tried to go down the road that my dad had planned out for me. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And I did go to college, and I quit college and got saved. And from that point on, waited a few years, and then I got sick. You know, I had to have a lot of surgeries because I used to get cysts and stuff like that. And so finally, I got married. And a month after I got married, I found out that I had to have another operation. And it was like the permanent one, the hysterectomy, where, you know, you're never going to have any children again. And I remember some people from the church coming and visit me and tell me, you know, God was with me and, you know, he would give me the strength that I needed. And I didn't really know my Bible very well. I didn't know God's word very well at the time. But I remember I did one of those things like, I'm going to, you know, flip open the Bible. And the first thing that I open it to, this is going to be a promise from the Lord. Because he knew that all I ever wanted to do was to have a baby. And so what I opened my Bible to was that verse in James, that if you take oil and you anoint the sick, they can be healed. And so I honestly got put to sleep with the anesthesia, and I was wheeled into the operating room knowing with 100% of my might that they were going to open me up and they were going to find a miracle. Like, oh my gosh, she's healed. There's nothing wrong with her. Let's stitch her back up. And I remember waking up in I was 27 years old. And I remember waking up in the operating room, in the recovery room, and they said, well, your operation was very complicated. It was worse than we thought. And they continued to tell me what they had to take out and stuff. And that moment, I shut my heart to God. I didn't want anything to do with God ever again because he could have, right? Isn't that what we think and what we're taught? Our God is able. And my God, at that time, I thought he failed me, and he failed me big time because I wasn't asking for money. I wasn't asking for a career. I was asking for a child. And of course, the enemy just came right into my life. And I was living with my in-laws at the time because I couldn't climb up the stairs of our apartment. And every single news thing, every time I opened the paper, it would be a story about a drug addict mother who locked her children in the closet or who beat their child or killed their child. And all I could think of in my heart was, really? You knew that this is how this child would end up, but you gave them a child and you couldn't give me a child? I was so angry, and it took me about a year to really open my heart back up to the Lord, because I didn't understand. I thought he failed me. I thought that he hated me, because why would he allow these things to happen to me in my life, but he would allow something good to happen to these other people who seemingly, in my opinion, didn't deserve a child, but he wouldn't allow me to have one. And so then we looked into, I still wanted a child. And somebody rebuked me This is why you need to have godly people in your life, because I was kind of like Elijah, I guess, at that point, where I was sitting under my tree just feeling sorry for myself. And somebody had to come along and say, Margie, what are you thinking? And had to bring me back to what God's word said and to remind me, just like in the story of Job, that we don't understand. We do not understand all the ways of God. We don't understand why he allows certain things to happen in each of our lives. Sometimes we're never going to understand why, but we have to trust. And I can stand here and tell you today, trust. Maybe you don't feel like it. Maybe you don't understand and you're not going to, but with everything in you, just say to the Lord, I want to believe. I have a little faith. Increase my faith. I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. He will do it. He will help you in your belief. And it ended up that I have the most adorable daughter. She's 30 years old now, and we adopted her. And not only, it's not like the kind of adoption where you just go somewhere and you get your child. I was in the delivery room, and I watched her be born. And that's something that most of you guys never get to do who bore children. You don't get to watch your kids be born. I watched that clump of black hair coming out, and I was like, what is that? Until the plasma, or whatever they call that stuff that comes out, I was like grossed out by that. But God answers our prayers, right? God made me a mom, but just not in the way that I had thought that he would. And I know maybe sometimes, you know, there's people that maybe you want to be a mom, but it hasn't even worked out. You're listening to me saying, oh, yeah, good for you. That's how it worked out for you. But God does have a plan. God does have a purpose, and he will answer your prayers, but maybe just not in the way that you expect him to. And we have to stop fighting. We have to stop being angry with him. And, you know, again, God never left me. I left him. I didn't want anything to do with him. I was in rebellion against anything and anybody that wanted to talk to me about him. But don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. Go to his word. Cry your heart out to him and allow him to speak to you through those hard times and through those suffering times. Job had to learn, just like each of us. Job had to learn by experience the grace of God in his life. We have to experience suffering sometimes in order to experience the grace of God, to experience the tender mercies of God, to experience the depth of the love that he has for us. I don't know about you, but if somebody's turned their back on me, if they walked away from me, I don't know how willing I would be to accept them back. But thank God, he's not like us. He's so different. He welcomes us back when we're ready to run from him, ready to run back to him. When we do look at Job's life through the different chapters in the book of Job, we see that there were times in Job's life he was not perfect. He did question. He did question God. Why did this happen? Why are you allowing these things? He mourned the suffering that he was going through. He cried out to God. He protested sometimes. Don't we protest? God, this isn't fair. This isn't the way that it's supposed to be. Why? He questioned. And he even got to the point where he cursed the day that he was born. Imagine being that much in suffering. Imagine being that filled with despair that you regret the day that you were even born. And yet, if we go to Job chapter 13, just turn over a few pages. This is amazing to me. Despite everything he was going through, Job in chapter 13, verse 15. Job says, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. No matter what God was going to allow to happen in Job's life, Job knew that his hope was in his God alone. Job's hope was not in getting his cattle back. It was not in getting his lifestyle back. It was not in getting his health back. His hope was in God alone. Maybe he didn't understand why God was allowing all this suffering, but he knew his God. He knew that his faith and his hope could rest in who God was. And that's what God wants all of us to know. He wants us to know that no matter what is going on in our world, no matter what is going on in our personal life or in our homes, that our hope is in him alone. Suffering is going to be part of life. It's just something that happens. Fair or not fair, it's going to happen. Paul writes in the book of Philippians, in the first chapter, he writes in verse 29, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Now I can tell you, I had to read that verse over and over and over, and I don't know what the word is for granted in the Dutch Bible. Does it mean granted? What do you have in verse Philippians 1:29?
It just says given.
It is what?
Just given.
It's given. So it's given to us. Now, if somebody is going to give you something, do you want it to be suffering? Here's a gift. I'm going to give you a gift, and that gift is suffering. And I kept saying over and over to myself, it's been granted to me to suffer for the sake of Christ. It's like of all the gifts that are listed in the Bible that God could give to me, suffering is not one that I would have my hand raised up before everybody else and say, yes, please, give me the gift of suffering. But it is a gift to suffer, isn't it? If you think about it. Because it does, when we allow it to, it allows us to draw near to Jesus. It allows us to humble ourselves, to bring ourselves to a place where we just let our arms out and we say, I'm yours, Lord. I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm not going to pretend, but I'm just going to surrender all of my thoughts, everything into your hands. And Job knew his God. And this is the only way we're going to make it, is when we know God. And how do we know him? Again, only through his word. I can tell you all day long, when you're going through a hard time, if you want to come to me, I will pat you on the back. I will cry with you. I will tell you, yes, it's so unfair what they did. It's not right what they did. I will make you feel good about what situation you're in and make the other person feel bad. But my words are not what's going to last. I can't comfort you unless I'm comforting you with the word of God. Because God's word is the truth. And God's word says that the grass fades and the flowers wither, or vice versa. But the word of God remains forever, forever. We need to comfort each other, not with our own words. It's okay, you know, that we give hugs and that we, you know, let each other talk out our issues. That is important. But we always have to remember to go back to the word, because we're human and we're going to fail each other. Our words, you can't hold on to my words. The only thing you can hold on to is the truth of God's word. That's what's going to remain. And in Job 19, chapter 19 of Job, you want to turn there? Job 19, Verses 25 through 27. Beautiful, beautiful words that came out of Job's mouth. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Job knew his Redeemer lived. Do you know that your Redeemer lives? Do you believe in the difficult times that your Redeemer lives? Or is it just a verse in the Bible? Is it just part of a song that you sing? Do we know without a doubt that our Redeemer lives and that one day we will see him? Job knew, no matter what happened to him in his life, that his hope was in God alone. His trust, his faith was in God alone. And he one day would see God with his very eyes. He knew that the worst could happen to him on this earth, but that would never stop him from seeing his God. Even if death came to Job, he knew without a doubt that his Redeemer lives. And he knew that he had that absolute hope that he would one day be with his Redeemer. And if you turn to Job chapter 23, verses 10 and 12, we'll read. But he, God, knows the way that I take. When he's tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I've kept his way and not turned aside. I've not departed from the commandment of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than the portion of my food. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, do we treasure God's word? Remember, the Bible says, and I think in Matthew, where our treasure is, there our heart is. What is our treasure? What do we treasure in life? Good? Finances? Stability? Good family life? Those are all great things. But they're not to be treasured above the word of God. We're to treasure his word. The hope that we have is in the words of God. Our hope that we have is not uncertain, as we've been saying this weekend, but we have a living hope. Why? Again, because we serve a living God. If we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, all the way at the end, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And just follow along in your Bible as I read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to what? A living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, that's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, but that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you don't see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Our trials on this earth cannot compare what's to come in our lives. This is all temporary, folks. What you're going through now is not going to last. Maybe it seems like it's never going to end, but don't put your hope in here. We're always to be looking up. We're always to be comforting one another. What does the Bible tell us? That we're to comfort each other with the hope that is within us, to give a reason to other people for the hope that is within us. And we're to comfort one another with the reminder that one day we're going to be in glory. One day we're going to be face to face with Jesus. And that's a great hope for each of us, no matter what we're going through. And maybe some days we're not ready to hear it, but it doesn't change that it's the truth. It doesn't change that this is what God himself has promised to each of his children. God chooses to fill us with all joy, that our joy, he says, I came that your joy may be filled. He doesn't want us to just have a little bit of joy. He doesn't want us to be joyful only when things are going right. He wants us to be filled with joy because our joy does not come from the outside. Our joy comes from him, just like our hope comes from him. In Romans 15:13, Paul writes, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And I looked up that word because there's words in the Bible. I'm just fascinated by words and how words are used in the Bible. And it doesn't, again, it doesn't just say, at least in the English version, it doesn't say that by the power of the Holy Spirit that you can have some hope or you can hold on to hope. No, it says that we may abound in hope. And the meaning of abound means to flourish in it, to have exceeding amounts of it, to overflow with hope. When our hearts and our minds are fixed upon Jesus, when our hearts and our minds are trusting in what Jesus has to say in our words, then we are able to abound with hope. We're able to flourish. We're able to overflow with hope, not because things are going good, but because we have his word. We have his promises. And this is how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live shriveled up. He doesn't want us to live with our head down all the time and just, woe is me, and when is this going to end? That's, you know, we're going to have those days, let's be honest, because we're still human beings. But let's not stay in those places. Let's remember where our hope comes from. Let's remember who our God is. Let's remember what he says in his word. And that when we do experience trials, when we do go through sufferings in our life, that we can overflow with hope and not with fear. We can abound in hope. We can have exceeding amounts of hope in our life, not because of circumstances, but because of who God is. God wants us to have confidence. You know, the Bible says that he didn't give us a spirit of fear, right? He doesn't want us walking around. We're his children. Do you want your children to be afraid all the time? Do you want them walking around scared of everything that might come bad, that comes their way? No, you want your kids to be joyful. You want them to enjoy life. You want them to, when they do experience fear, to know that it's temporary. Well, we are his children. And this is what God wants for us as his children. He doesn't want us to walk around like cowards and being afraid and being, you know, when you're cast down, as the Bible says, why are you cast down, oh my soul? And cast down is just like this picture to me of just like, you know, we don't even have the energy or the strength to put our shoulders back and to walk upright and to look forward. No, we're walking around like this, and we're going to get kinks in our neck because we're constantly like this rather than looking forward. God doesn't want us looking back. God doesn't want us looking down. No, he wants us to keep forward, keeping our focus on what he has for each and every one of us, and look up. Look up. When you can't look forward, then look up. Don't look down. Look up at the promises that he gives us. And no matter what comes our way, no matter what, if you find yourself like Elijah found himself, upset, ready to give up, too tired to go on, put your confidence in the Lord, not in the people around you. When you're like those two guys on the road to Emmaus, in those times of loneliness, trying to talk over your confusion together with somebody, know that Jesus is near. Know that Jesus is drawing near to you as he did with those two guys. When you don't get the answers, it's one of the things I love about the story of Job. Job questioned. If you ever read the book through, you see that Job did have questions. And then he had goofball friends. I do not want friends like Job had. No way. No, thank you. Asking and doubting, making Job feel like it was all his fault that these things happened, that there must be something wrong in Job's life, and that's why these sufferings came upon him. No, that's not why. And don't ever let anybody tell you that you must be having to learn something or God is punishing you. No. No, there's always consequences when we sin, but God's not allowing suffering in our life to punish. We need to get rid of that concept. That thing floats around too many times in Christian circles. That's not our God. He's not mean. He's not spiteful. He's loving. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. Don't be like Job's friends, and don't hang out with people who are like Job's friends. They're not going to get you anywhere. You keep your eyes on the Lord, and you see that Job went through these things, but never, ever are we told why, are we? The Bible doesn't tell us at the end of Job's story why God allowed suffering in his life. Sometimes, my husband and I, we were talking about it the other day, and it's like, to me, I summarize the book of Job like this. God is God, and I'm not. Because at the end of the day, God can do anything he wants. God can allow anything he wants. Now, I say that with caution because I'm like, oh, no, not really. But truthfully, he's allowed to do what he wants. We're his. We belong to him. And he's in charge. He is God. We're not God. And so we can pour out our heart to him. We can talk to him like Job did. We can, you know, be like, why? But we're not always told why. And I think that's what's hardest for us sometimes, is not getting the answer. I always want the answer. I'm okay with a problem if somebody will come alongside and say, this is exactly why I allowed this problem to occur in your life. But sometimes we're not, most times, I would say 90% of the time, we're never given the reason why God allows such things to happen in our life. And I've just come to the conclusion, it's life. It's just a part of life. And can we grow through it? Yes. There's always opportunity, no matter what comes our way, for us to grow and for us to learn. We're going to endure sufferings in our life, but they're not going to last forever. As God's beloved daughters, we have a hope that most of this world does not have. And we need to cling to that hope. When you can't cling to anything else in life, then cling to Jesus. Cling to the hope that you have in him. We have his glorious promises. All of his promises, again, are yes and amen. 1 Corinthians 2:9, I'll end with this beautiful verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? I would imagine all of us would say yes. Do you love him? Yes. Do you love him? Yes. Do you love him? Yes. Yes. And our eyes have not seen. We haven't seen it yet. all the things that God has prepared for each and every one of us that loves him. Hold on to him. Hold on to hope, and only through his word. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, how thankful we are that we have this living hope. Lord, help us that we can abound. Lord, not just have hope, but may we abound. May we overflow with the hope that you have given to us. Lord, in the times when you allow sufferings to come our way, when we don't understand why you're allowing things in our lives to be the way they are, when things seem so unfair, Lord, help us to trust in you, to put our faith in your word, in your promises. Lord, help us to be friends that spur each other on. Lord, that we'll turn each other's eyes and focus back to you and back to the truth of what your word has to say. Lord, may we not stay in our trials. May we not be cast down. Lord, but may our focus and our thoughts and our mind be upon you. Lord, you are so great, greater than we can even imagine. How we love you, God. How we thank you that you call us your precious and lovely daughters. Lord, some of us have had really hard lives, not good fathers, and yet you are our great Father. You are our good Father, and how we praise you and thank you for that. Help us, Lord, in our times of weakness to turn our eyes upon you, to look up and to know that our Redeemer lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Tell you right now, it's gonna be alright.